New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, indeed. Hi, how are you? And thank you for coming by. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Thursday, the 19th day of July, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and a little bit of breaking news here in the last half hour, where the White House is now clarifying what Sarah Huckabee Sanders said yesterday about, well, about this idea that came up that we would be able to go to Russia and interview the 12 people that were indicted, and then Russia could come here and interview former ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, and Bill Browder, who is a longtime critic of Vladimir Putin. And so as this all was going down yesterday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders told the press at the news briefing yesterday that there was some conversation about it. Yeah, exchanging access to suspected Russian intelligence officers and providing access to our people. And at one point, Sanders said this was this offer was still on the table. So two different times yesterday, she said, "Yeah, we're considering it. We're thinking about it." But the State Department went nuts yesterday. Heather Nauert over at the State said in a separate briefing yesterday, while Sarah Huckabee Sanders was doing her thing, she said that they were absurd. The fact, she said, "We do not stand by these assertions that the Russian government makes, and the proposition is absolutely not going to happen. It would be a grave concern to our former colleagues here." So she wasn't the only person. Senate Intel Ranking Member Mark Warner also said the U.S. will not be turning McFaul or any other American public servant over to Russia to be prosecuted for non-existent crimes. That really isn't what they were suggesting. They were suggesting that they could send Russian officials over to watch the former ambassador and others, Bill Browder, watch the interview with law enforcement here. And so it wasn't like they were going to be taking these people into custody. They were going to be interviewed by our people here with the Russians standing there. And no matter what you think of Ambassador Michael McFaul, he's kind of a big lefty guy. He was the Obama ambassador to Russia. He's now at the Hoover Institute, I think, at Stanford. But regardless, doesn't matter, because he's been a sharp critic of Vladimir Putin. He's also a sharp critic of Donald Trump. But Lindsey Graham went off and said it's absurd, naive. So within the last 20 minutes or so, the White House has now come out and clarified it and said there's absolutely no way we're going to do this. So there's your update. That's all I got. I mean, they were, Sarah Huckabee Sanders says they were exploring it yesterday, and now she said it twice. And now the answer is ixnay. No way. Not going to happen. So let me start the program where I wanted to start today, which may surprise you a little bit, but I saw this interview that Tucker Carlson had Tuesday night on his show on Fox News. And Tucker sat down with the president and interviewed him, and I like Tucker, and I think he's a smart guy, and he, but a lot of people were critical of Tucker, and a lot of people were critical of the president because of a question that Tucker Carlson asks, and the question was about NATO, and he basically said, why should his son have to die for Montenegro? And Because Montenegro is the newest member, the 29th member of NATO. And Article 5 says that if there's any trouble in any of the 29 countries, the other 28 will militarily come to their aid. So this, and by the way, it's only happened once where Article 5 was implemented, and that was September of 2001, September 11th of 2001, we were attacked, and the NATO allies said, we are sending patrol planes, we're sending this, that, and a number of the countries have actually sent troops to a number of the battlefields that we've been involved with ever since. Their force in Afghanistan is very small, but they send, it's not many. So Montenegro is sending some people. And so the question came down, why should my son have to die for Montenegro? And I thought that was a fascinating question. And the president kind of said, yeah, because otherwise we could have World War III. Let's listen. This is the president brings up concerns about protecting countries that are part of NATO, such as Montenegro.
Membership in NATO obligates the members to defend any other member that's attacked. So let's say Montenegro, which joined last year, is attacked. Right. Why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from attack? Why is that?
I understand what you're saying. I've asked the same question. You know, Montenegro is a tiny country with very strong people.
Yeah, I'm not against Montenegro or Albania.
No, by the way, they're very strong people. They're very aggressive people. They may get aggressive. And congratulations, you're in World War III. Now, I understand that, but that's the way it was set up. Don't forget, I just got here a little more than a year and a half ago.
Right.
But I took over the conversation 3 or 4 days ago, and I said, you have to pay. And the Secretary General said that because of President Trump, last year we had an additional $44 billion, with a B, billion dollars raised for NATO. And this year it's going to be much more than that. And the countries all agreed. It was very unfair. They weren't paying. So we're not only are we paying for most of it, but they weren't even paying. And we're protecting them. Add that to your little equation on Montenegro.
Well, I was a little frustrated because the president got off the main point and started talking about he was the bill collector for NATO. Hey, look at the money. I get it. I go off the rails on financial issues too, but that was what his concern was about the fact that they weren't paying. My concern, and I said this before the president left for the NATO meeting, I think it was the day of or the day before, and I said, really, what are we part of NATO for? Is it that important? It was an organization that was put together like the day after World War II ended in Europe. And the world has changed ever since then. And in those days, it was primarily the Western European countries that were part of NATO, and now it has scattered around to the Baltic states, Eastern Europe, all those places that used to be part of the Soviet Union. A lot of them have now become part of NATO. Putin doesn't like it, of course, but what if Putin decides to do like he did with Ukraine, which Ukraine is not part of NATO, but they were talking about Ukraine being part of NATO, when all of a sudden little green army men without patches, they were Russian soldiers, marched into eastern Ukraine and took control. So they were not going to let Ukraine become part of NATO. But if Putin does what he did in Georgia and Crimea and eastern Ukraine, if he does that in any of these 29 countries that belong to NATO, we're at war. We are going to be committed to going in there and fighting whoever it is. In this case, my description would be fighting Russia. So on one hand, you go, Putin knows this. Putin has not played around with NATO. He did the Ukraine-Crimea thing in Georgia. They weren't part of NATO. So NATO was designed to keep the old Soviet Union, now Russia, from interfering in these countries. I don't know if he's got the cojones to do it. He hasn't yet. Is it because of the fact that he doesn't want to stir the hornet's nest with NATO? But I'm looking at what the president said, and what Tucker asked was, why should my son have to go die for Montenegro? The president says, I've asked the same question. It's about this mutual security pact that was formed back in the late 1940s. So, I like Tucker's question. I think it's a very legitimate question. He's been getting a lot of pushback about it. How dare he ask such a question? And the president did not fully come out and say, yes, we will, no matter what, we will defend the other 28 members of NATO. Well, that's what we're going to do. We know he said instead, he starts talking about collecting the dues. So he doesn't sound jazzed about it either, which then brings up, if you are a leader of one of these small countries, whether it's Montenegro, Estonia, whatever, are you counting on the United States to show up if somebody starts messing with your little country militarily? You think we would? You think we should? What do you think about this responsibility for us, this mutual aid pact that we have, that we will go and help these other countries if Russia interferes with them? Now, I brought up the day before the president left for the NATO meeting, said, I'm not so sure about all of this. I mean, they really aren't paying their bills, but I'm not so sure about our involvement in NATO anymore either. And we are the big kahuna. They did send some patrol planes and things like that after 9/11, but we would be the ones to be the patrolmen, the warriors, to fight back Russia. You want to stay part of NATO? Do you want to stay part of this pact that was made 70-some years ago? 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You want to stay part of NATO.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So I thought it was a great question, and it was a question that I was asking before the president went over to even meet with the NATO folks. I was talking about, it occurred to me one night about a week ago that, you know, the president is talking about, all right, all you NATO members, you guys have to pay your bills. Come on, pour in more money. And it's not a matter of, they don't pay it, write a check to NATO in Brussels. And they don't write a check to us. We're supposed to contribute 2% of our GDP to our national defense. In other words, and we spend more than that. But other countries, including Germany, don't. I think they spend a little more than 1%. So I asked the question, are you sure we want to encourage Germany to spend more on their defense? Because we know that the last century was a little bit rough historically because Germany twice built up their military and twice went to war with the others in Europe. So they've got all these small countries all huddled together there in Europe. This idea of getting Germany to spend more money to build more military, to build more defense, more military goods, is, I just was thinking out loud, are you sure? Sure, you got to be careful what you ask for. But that's what we're asking for. We're asking for Germany and everybody else to beef up their military spending. And if you look at Europe, besides World War I that we got involved with rather reluctantly. In fact, if you look at the beginnings of World War I, Woodrow Wilson ran his 1916 presidential campaign on the slogan, he has kept us out of war, and America first. That was 1916. By 1917, we were in the war, World War I. We were pouring troops into Western Europe. So we had a lot of people killed in World War I. So World War II comes along, and we are trying to stay out of that thing. We are becoming an isolationist nation, and we tried to stay out of the early beginnings, but that did not last once Pearl Harbor happened, and boom, we were in. Plus, they had some other wars as well. So by the end of World War II, everybody looked at each other and said, can we stop this, please, and let's form this North Atlantic Trade Treaty Organization to defend each other. And so since then, how many European wars have we had? Zero. I mean, you may want to count Yugoslavia, Serb-Croatian war, but that is basically zero. So I don't know if NATO is should we be patting them on the back, saying great job NATO for keeping peace in Europe, or should we say why do we need to go die for Montenegro? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Let's start with Clinton in California. Hello, Clinton.
Hey Tom. I'd have to say I think we should stay with NATO. I mean, it's just smart to keep your troops and your, allies. And I mean, we gave our word to them that we're going to be doing this and stuff. I mean, you can't just, back out of your word just because things are starting to get hard. But I mean, it'd be stupid to, because I mean, as soon as we back out of there, they ain't going to let us keep our stuff over there.
Well, that's the other question. Why should we? We've got, I believe it's 65,000 troops in Europe. Half of them are in Germany.
Well, it's just the same as if you're all in one spot, and somebody up above were to shoot down at a bunch of fish, you're going to probably kill them all. But if you're all spread out, you more likely ain't going to kill them. You're going to get, like, just a few. So you're easier to flank other ships or, countries, whatever's trying to take over. I mean,
well, it's Russia. This is about protecting Western Europe. We agreed with Western Europe, we'll do that. But now you've got 29 countries scattered all over the place, right next to Russia. So should we do a deal to protect them? Would you answer Tucker Carlson's question, why should your son have to die for one of those countries? That's really the bottom line. But, Clinton, I got to hit the break. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
So NATO, I mean, Tucker Carlson, I thought, asked a good question. He's getting some pushback, so is the president, but I think it's a very legitimate question. Should we stay in Montenegro? It's one of the 29 countries in NATO. And Tucker Carlson said to the president, why should my son have to die defending Montenegro? And the president didn't answer it directly, but he said, I had the same question. And then wandered off on about how they haven't paid their bills. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Chris says, first let's get them to pay their bills, then we can talk about adding countries. We're not talking about adding countries. We're talking about supporting the 28 other countries that are already in. Arlene says on my Twitter feed, which is at Sullivan Radio, peace through strength. We're stronger when we're bigger. That's why we should stay in NATO. We're the big kahunas in NATO. There really isn't much else out there that we're not relying upon them. They are relying upon us. Do you want to have these countries now up to number 28 other countries, that we formed a pact with like seven of them or something like that back in 1945. Now we've got all these other people that have jumped in on the party train going, yeah, the United States is going to defend us. Where do I sign? Oh, I've got to pay 2% of my GDP to build my military? Yeah, okay, great. But maybe I will, maybe I won't. Phone number is 855-295-6600. How would you answer the question that Tucker Carlson asked? Why should my son, why should your son or daughter have to die defending Montenegro? 855-295-6600. Jeff in California. Jeff, hi. How are you?
I'm good. Taking my call, Tom.
You bet.
I'm just curious. It doesn't really answer the question, but has America become synonymous with NATO? I mean, every time anything happens, it seems that NATO doesn't do anything, and America is the one that jumps in. And I'm just thinking why we don't have this actual national coalition where they share the blame as well as the cost, and not just us looking like the bad guys coming in every time something happens.
Well, I got a call from when I was talking about this when the president was heading off to the NATO meeting before he got there, and I had a call from one of the listeners who had served in Afghanistan and said, yeah, we had some, I think he was in Afghanistan. I can't remember now. But he said, yeah, we had some NATO troops there, and they were good guys, and we got along great and all that. But I don't know, a 70-some-year-old agreement with different people, I'm not talking about the leaders, different countries, it seems like it's kind of a bait and switch. Should we be responsible for that? But at the same time, do you think Vladimir Putin, if NATO wasn't there, would be more than happy to invade a lot of those Eastern Bloc countries and take them back under his wing as the Soviet Union? Is NATO keeping him back?
Yes, I do. I believe they are.
Well, if that's the case, then I'd say it certainly makes a strong argument for being in NATO. If that's the case.
Yeah, we have to have something to keep these rogue dogs out of the mix.
Well, Putin has pushed his weight around, but he hasn't done it to a NATO country. The other weird part about this, wait a minute. You know that Turkey is part of NATO. Turkey, seems like they're about everything against us that they can possibly be in many, many different ways. And they don't like, they're a Muslim-majority country. They don't like Israel. We said we will defend Israel. What if Turkey and Israel get into it? Are we going to have to go fight Israel to defend Turkey?
That's a good question. I think, you know, if you look at the original intent, it was to bring all the nations together and stop the progress of war. And it may be that just the new players and more players need to be in discussion to, you know, continually give that protection so that these things don't happen again.
I think it's dramatically different groups now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's I can't imagine we would not defend Israel, but that's another scenario that is a possibility. It's a real possibility, actually. All right, Jeff, thank you. Appreciate the call. Bill in Carson City, Nevada. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing today, Tom?
Doing good.
It's a great idea because, okay, now let's say something happens and we send out groups over there to fight with them. On the other side of the coin, if something happens over here in America, they send their troops to fight alongside our troops. The bigger NATO is, the better it is in the bigger picture. And as far as Vladimir Putin goes, he said several times nothing would make him happier than to get the old Soviet Union back to where it was, because that's his ultimate plan in life, is to bring the Soviet Union back into power it used to be. And as big, the bigger NATO is, the more power you have to fight a force. That's my opinion.
Yeah, they don't add a lot. That's the thing. I mean, in Afghanistan, Montenegro, for example, had 12 soldiers. So, okay, they're a small country.
Well,
so,
pick it up.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say the rest of the countries don't count, but I just wonder how much bloodshed we are willing to spill for other nations. And do you think it really is keeping Putin from attacking this country? Putin, as you said, Bill, Putin would be the happiest man on earth if we got out of NATO. No question about it. And the next thing he would do after recovering from his vodka hangover is he would probably go attack some of those countries that are along the Eastern Bloc. He would grab them, like you said, to bring them back into the glory of the mother, Russia, that Soviet Union, no question. So,
yeah, heartbeat. Well, then NATO has to come up with a law that says if something happens, you send 25% of your military to hell. You don't just send 12 soldiers, you send 25% of them. There'd have to be a percentage that goes into each country to make it fair for NATO.
And that's why, that's why the president wants them to fund more, because they need to have more than they have to have a good military, a well trained military, and all that. But I was asking the other day about, you sure you want Germany to have a better military? All right, I'll tell you, Bill. I appreciate the call very much. Got a break in about a minute, so I don't want to be... it's unfair to callers. What else we got here? Madeline Albright chimed in, saying Putin wants the U.S. to question their alliance with Montenegro.
This is a country that wanted to be a part of NATO. There was a coup there because the Russians did not want them to have that role. And now what has happened is the gift is that the Russians are playing games in the Balkans and trying to get them to be much more part of the former Russian group of people that were supportive of them. And this is a gift to Putin that all of a sudden Montenegro, who have provided troops to help in Afghanistan, are now being questioned about whether we would defend them, which we're supposed to do under Article 5 of NATO. That is a gift to Putin.
12 troops, but I don't want to diminish them. They're 12 human beings, but it's not a big factor. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Should we stay or go from NATO? We'll be right back.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So, retired General Mark Pertling, he, I believe, ran the European forces for the United States before his retirement. He says that the president bringing up Montenegro and NATO... he didn't bring it up. Tucker Carlson brought it up. Only tells NATO and our allies that the president might not be fully committed to NATO.
There's no more words to describe the kinds of things that we're seeing. When you're talking, and I heard your previous interview with Sam and Chris, when you're talking about communication, it's not only what someone says, but it's what other people hear. It's a two-way street. And in that particular communication, what the president basically did and what people in Europe heard was he was questioning our collective security agreement with the members of NATO. He was also suggesting in that interview that U.S. commitment to NATO is conditional. He specifically brought up, or I guess Tucker Carlson brought up Montenegro. That was not by accident. Montenegro was the last member to enter NATO. They're the 29th member. And before they entered, they had a great deal of pushback from Russia for entering. It's a former Yugoslavian republic. So all of these things sent a signal to a lot of people in NATO. And I got to tell you, it was just another one of those interviews that was head-scratching, especially given that it came just a few hours after the so-called walk back, because it goes back to what he probably had in conversation with Mr. Putin during that one-on-one.
Yeah, and I think that I think we're starting to see a genuine president, Donald Trump, answering how he basically feels. I'm sure he's couching it to some degree, but I don't think he has any love for NATO. I really don't. He keeps bringing it back, though, to the monthly dues, you know, like it's a country club and you haven't paid your July dues yet. Where's the money? 855-295-6600. Pat in Virginia. Hello, Pat.
Tom, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good.
You know what?
What?
I just think it is a pretty sorry state of affairs that we're even talking about this.
Well, it was asked because they're not the only ones thinking about it.
The United States considering withdrawing from NATO, an institution that we built for the protection of the United States? That's nothing, nuclear disarmament.
That's where I disagree, is I don't think it's about the protection of the United States. I think it's a protection. The idea was to protect Western Europe from the Soviet Union. Now, that's morphed with it. That's morphed, but still, I think it's about them more than it is us.
Okay. It depends on your perspective. Here's the way I look at it. If we withdraw from NATO and subsequently have to pull all of our troops out of Western Europe, Russia would gobble up a whole bunch of territory over there, and rather easily, and I would say, as Donald Trump would say, they would quickly reform the old Soviet, and then we got a problem. We cannot allow this guy to make us all, as you guys say in the press, transactional. Somebody has to do it.
Let me back you up a minute, because you brought up, and I agree with your point about if we pull out and we take our troops and get them out of Europe and we get out of NATO, I think Vladimir Putin would immediately start going into these old Soviet bloc countries and taking them back again. Yes. So,
and then we'll be staring at the same situation that you and I grew up in.
But I got to ask you, if he did that, what would change? Because Russia is still in 12 time zones. They're still like a massive country. And if he went after Ukraine, took the whole thing, Belarus, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, all of those, what would the world do about that? We would live like the old Soviet days, where they would have more territory and more people, but they still are just a small fraction of, I mean, it's been reported a lot this week that their economy is the size of Italy's. They're not as big and powerful as their size on the map.
Well, when they gobble up all of these little splinter countries, then it would be a whole lot bigger than Italy. You're not looking at the big picture. These guys, I'm telling you what, they could swell in a minute. And a lot of these things, a lot of these territories that they would like to repossess, they're probably more probable territories than Russia itself.
Yeah, some of them
that
are.
It would support Russia's overall infrastructure. Now, the bottom line is, I'm no expert in this stuff, but I have a decent amount of common sense. It would be like saying to Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump saying to him, Merry Christmas.
Let me ask you how the world peace, a balance of peace in the world has changed since Russia took over Georgia, took over Crimea, took over eastern Ukraine, and we did nothing, nada, nothing, and nothing. I don't think anything has really changed.
Here's my question, in the face of what you just said, you're right. Right? You're absolutely right, Tom, as you usually are, because you had a great show. You're a smart guy.
Thank you.
But in light of what you just said, now you're talking about Montenegro.
Yeah.
Oh, do you we're going to defend them? No. See, that was just a setup question. And matter of fact, Tucker Carlson is an idiot. He's a provocative idiot, and he may as well be. I want to say anything. I don't know. But he's espousing the same principle as Vladimir Putin. Putin would want that question asked. My question is, who the hell told Tucker to say that?
Yeah.
You know, look, that was a setup question. Carlson is an idiot.
I don't know where he got it from. I have no idea where he got it from, but.
You made my case that Putin has gone back and taken back territory and stuff, and we haven't done anything. So what the hell do you think we're going to do in connection with Montenegro? Nothing. So it's an irrelevant question.
The only thing is, I believe most of us suspect, at the very least, that the reason he hasn't messed with NATO countries is because he does respect the fact that the NATO agreement might actually work.
And he thinks at the same time, that if we were to dismantle and the United States were to pull back, that he's home free. So why are we talking about it?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about get a human advantage? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Are we going crazy as a nation?
Well, it was a long time ago, and you have to take a look at some of these old agreements to see whether or not they're still working. And what you're saying is it's still working. So don't mess with it. You know what? I got to tell you, though, I don't like the idea of everybody and their brother getting in on this. The United States will protect you if you join our club, and then they don't pay the bills. But, Pat, always good to talk to you. I appreciate the call. We'll be right back.